Mr. Wrench, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning. If it pleases the justices of the court, Mr. Settles, Mr. Ernst, my name is Richard Wrench. I represent the Cohans, Terry and Mary Cohan. I'd just ask that my argument here today be a supplement to the brief that I submitted in my reply brief. I think those briefs really talk about everything that I need to say here.
Counsel?
Yes, sir.
Let's assume for a moment Nebraska does not have loss of chance doctrine. And giving your client every reasonable inference of the evidence, A, what do you believe she did prove, giving her every reasonable inference, and B, explain to us why that evidence was error to grant a directed verdict.
Well, Your Honor, I believe that, first up, we absolutely did prove prima facie on all counts of negligence.
Okay, but specifically, what did you prove, giving your client every reasonable inference of
well,
damages?
We found that the doctors who held themselves out as people who put themselves in a position of service for someone who absolutely requires their service, it's a life or death service, held themselves out negligently, performed the service, and so thereby increased the risk that my client had when she walked in there. In other words...
Okay, but that's loss of chance. What are the actual damages she proved by the physician's negligence?
Well, we proved that when she walked in to see them, she had a tumor the size of 15 millimeters. And she had nodes, only three nodes affected at that point in her sickness and her disease. Within the year period following the negligence, until it was discovered in October of 2010, that tumor had increased in size from 15 millimeters to 71 millimeters. So it was an increase in 56. It proved that it was a late stage, virulent, aggressive tumor that she has because it maybe outstripped the first year, the year when she had nothing, that was 2008 to 2009 when negligence occurred. It had only grown 15 millimeters. So we're showing that this is an aggressive late stage tumor and a cancer. It not only grew in size exponentially, it also infiltrated exponentially to the nodes, the axillary nodes on the left side. And so the axillary nodes went from 3 to 19. So that is an injury. Those are injuries that she did sustain. And the evidence is that it prevented her at the late stage when it was found from any type of breast-saving conservation, also with the nipple. So she's left with injury, and she's left with, if you want to call the size of the tumor injury, and that, in our opinion, is. And in, I don't know that you can actually separate what we're asking for from what some people define a loss of chance as.
Okay. How do you define it?
Well, I define loss of chance as a loss is a separate condition. It's a condition that a person comes in, the woman comes in, with at the time that it's diagnosed. And it's a condition because this percentage of cure, the rate at which someone can the percentage of...
You're talking prognosis?
Pardon?
Are you speaking in terms of prognosis?
In terms of prognosis, but the condition would be her chance of being cured. And they do give a percentage. Nowadays, when they treat a woman, the woman is treated by an oncologist, and the oncologist has a set of parameters. They want to know the size. They want to know the everything about it, whether it's been spreading. They want to know the grade. And the grade then all of that together gives them an opportunity to say that if we don't give her this particular type of treatment, then she's not going to survive. She has a survival chance without any treatment, and she has a survival chance with treatment. And so that is a condition, not really a loss of, you know, something that's not real. That condition, that loss of a chance of a better outcome, is something that we say is worth something.
Was there evidence at the time that she first asked for a mammogram that the preferred method of treatment, given the size of the tumor at that time, would have been a lumpectomy as opposed to a total mastectomy?
There was some evidence that was testified to by, it was Dr. Appleton, and she said that she didn't have any chance at the time that it was found, that she did, which was then, you know, the larger size, that there was no chance of conservancy at that time. But before, yes, there could have been.
So is that without regard to subsequent survival issues or the potential for further adjuvant therapy, are you claiming that the damage that was proven was the loss of a more conservative outcome, as in conservation of the breast and so forth?
That's one of the damages.
Without regard to loss of chance.
That's true. That is true.
That would be your causation, that had they diagnosed this treatment or this condition at the time she first sought the diagnosis, that the treatment would have been more likely a lumpectomy than a total mastectomy and the subsequent adjuvant therapy that she now requires.
That, Your Honor, there is evidence to that effect in the record.
And that would be a damage.
That is a damage.
Is that the theory on which you tried your case?
I tried the case, I think, on a dual theory, the traditional and then the loss of chance. Thought the loss of chance was probably her best, just because I believe it probably entailed more damages. And
I have a question about that. It's not clear to me, as you articulate loss of chance, whether you are articulating it as a separate cause of action or a relaxed theory of causation or an element of damages. Could you clarify that for me? I don't know where it fits.
Well, I have had a hard time with that myself, Your Honor, but I think it's more of a relaxed way to look at causation, very similar to something that we already have, and that is restatement second, and that's, excuse me, our on the instructions. The 4.09 instruction.
The pre-existing condition
instruction.
On the
pre-existing condition, and that's what you look at. That's what you look at the cancer as. It's a pre-existing condition, and the pre-existing condition is not lit up, but it's accelerated. It's sped up because of
the... Was there evidence introduced as to the cost of the mastectomy and that treatment?
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Was there evidence offered as to the cost of the mastectomy and the treatment related thereto with regard to removal of the 19 lymph nodes?
No, Your Honor.
Counsel, the opposing party says that there's no evidence chance of survival. All the evidence from your experts was solely limited to chance of reoccurrence. And they say that's important in this case because, you know, there's no evidence of what may come in the future. It's only a chance of reoccurrence. What's your comments on that?
My comment is, Your Honor, it was clearly defined that recurrence means that it has to be at a distant location to a heart, to a lung, to a bone.
So you have evidence. Is that right, of metastasis or the risk of metastasis?
We have evidence that's what recurrence means. If it recurs, it's to a distant organ. And I think that it's common knowledge that is stage 4, that if it's going to recur, if it goes outside the region that it started in, that basically that is a death sentence, and I don't think that it needs to have any further explanation that it's metastasized. Metastasized means that it's going to eventually kill you. You may be able to, you know, put that eventuality off somewhat, but because of science and the new medicine, but...
But that's not in the record. Chance of survival.
Excuse me?
Chance of survival is not in the record, correct?
Chance of survival is discussed, and I can't tell you the exact page, but yeah, there is a discussion on survival.
Which expert testified to that?
It would have been Dr. Naughton, I believe.
Counsel, before you sit down,
yeah, I'd like to say
The Nebraska Hospital Medical Liability Act defines several terms. It defines tort, it defines occurrence, and it defines damages. What's your best argument that the loss of chance doctrine can be reconciled with those statutory definitions?
Well, I believe that we did show that she had there was an injury. That is the growth of the tumor and the spread of the tumor into her nodes, and she then has a loss of something that is valuable to her, valuable to the person whose chance of recovery has been taken away by the perpetrators, people who were negligent.
But counsel, at this point, she's had a total recovery, hasn't she? There's been no recurrence.
There's been no recurrence, but these are all judged on 10-year basis, and you're going to find...
And hadn't that rate dropped to 30% at the time of trial?
Not really, Judge.
Isn't that what your expert testified to?
There was testimony from the expert that it would have dropped, I think, to about 35. But there was also evidence from that same expert that it stays constant from the date that it's diagnosed, which was back in... Can't remember when it was, back in 2010. Actually, it was in January of 2011. It stays constant for 10 years, and it doesn't drop off. And it is in the record, Your Honor. He did say some contradictory things, but it's our opinion that it's for the jury to decide the contradictions of any of the witnesses, including any contradictions from the same witness. And so that's up to the jury, not to the judge. Because if you look at his testimony, I think that you can say that he is saying that she has a greater than 75% chance of recurrence all the way through. It is current at the time. And anything that's in excess of 75 could be as high as 100% certainty that she is going to have recurrence. So at the time of the trial even, there... Theoretically, and this is technical, but the time of the trial was not quite 5 years out. And if she is technically, in the opinion of the expert, 100% certain to succumb or at least to have a recurrence at the time of the trial, then it was greater than or more likely than not that she would recur. It was by a few weeks or a few days, but it's still technically... Given just the traditional way of looking at how to process this thing and taking loss of chance completely out of it, she was in compliance, and that's what makes the order dismissing, I think, in error as well. Any other questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ernst, good morning to you. Now, how much time, how are you going to allot time here?
Morning, Your Honor. We'd like to split the time evenly.
Okay, so you've got 5 minutes.
Thank you. May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices, my name is Dave Ernst. I represent Dr. Robert Falk, a mammogram specialist from Omaha and his professional corporation, Medical Imaging Consultants. We ask this Court to affirm the decision of the District Court dismissing this case at the close of the plaintiff's evidence. We think very clearly the plaintiff did not meet their traditional causation standard, and therefore it was appropriately dismissed since this Court has not adopted the loss of chance doctrine.
Counsel, I want to cancer patient's tumor goes from 1.5 centimeters to 7 centimeters over a year period. It goes from 3 nodes to 19. How is that alone not sufficient to raise a jury question?
Because it's only an injury if there's damage to the patient, and they didn't prove there was damage to the patient in this case. Cancer grows every minute, every hour. That's not a separate and divisible injury or damage. And so in any case, you could argue that if you went a day or 2 days or 6 days without diagnosing it, there's been an injury. But it's only an injury if it's caused damage to the patient. Plaintiff has not proved that the increase in size resulted in damage.
You say that there's no evidence that had they diagnosed this either in 2008 or 2009 that a lumpectomy would have been the standard form of treatment?
That's correct, Your Honor. There was no evidence that it would have been in this case. They had some general testimony from Dr. Appleton.
But you would agree that her subsequent result of a double mastectomy and radiation would certainly be a causation of failure to diagnose at some point in time in either 2008 or 2009.
I don't agree. The evidence is that a patient may choose to have a double mastectomy even if they qualify for a lumpectomy. The important point is there was no expert testimony that she wasn't eligible for a lumpectomy if it had been diagnosed sooner.
Well, didn't Dr. Appleton testify that she was not eligible for a more conservative approach? And then on the follow-up questions when you said, well, don't some patients choose? But initially she said it was she wasn't eligible for a more conservative approach. Didn't she say that?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think a careful reading of that testimony, if she was talking about, in a general sense, all comers, all people, that they try to diagnose cancer as soon as you can, common sense, because you want to give the patient a chance for a lumpectomy if they're eligible. I don't believe she testified that in this case, under the facts of Mrs. Cohen's cancer, that she was not eligible. There was reference to a CT scan in which the radiologist commented on it, but nobody has given an opinion that she was not eligible. The appellants did not call her surgeon to testify. Nobody elicited an opinion about whether she was eligible
are you or talking
not,
about
or whether she would have chosen that or not.
Excuse me, are you talking about when it was finally diagnosed or when it could have been diagnosed?
Well, they didn't provide evidence either way about whether she would have been eligible or not.
But you're generally talking about now whether she would have been eligible in 2010 when this was finally diagnosed.
It was diagnosed in 2010. She chose to have a double mastectomy, but there was no evidence about whether she was eligible or not eligible for a lumpectomy at that time.
Was there evidence about what she was eligible for in 2009?
No, there was no opinion from a doctor saying if this had only been diagnosed in 2009, she could have avoided a mastectomy. It just wasn't, it was talked about in a generic sense when Dr. Appleton was being questioned about why you want to diagnose someone sooner rather than later. But nobody testified that in this particular patient's case, she would or would not have been eligible for a lumpectomy if caught sooner, or she wasn't eligible for a lumpectomy when it was detected in 2010. So they failed to put the evidence on that would have allowed that sort of damage to be even considered by the jury in this case. It would have been total conjecture or speculation without medical evidence on whether she was eligible.
I beg your pardon, what was the evidence of the virtues of sooner?
What was the evidence of the virtues of the sooner? In a general sense, I think Dr. Appleton said we always try to find cancer sooner rather than later, so because we want to give the patient the best potential prognosis that they have. There was no evidence that if she had been discovered a year sooner, that she would in fact have had a better outcome. And that's really key in this case because as this court has held in Rankin, merely talking about prognosis does not meet the burden of proof on causation. And that's all we have in this case is prognosis. There's no opinion from any of the plaintiff's expert witnesses that had this cancer been diagnosed a year sooner, it would have improved her outcome. It was all in terms of prognosis, not yes, it would have improved her outcome. There was
the evidence would be sufficient if someone said more likely than not. That would have sustained the burden. But you're claiming there just wasn't any evidence of that regardless.
There was no evidence that more likely than not, if this had been diagnosed a year sooner, her outcome would have been improved. It was simply prognosis.
Or no evidence of options at a certain point in time.
No evidence that she had this option or didn't have this option. The record is silent on that. I see my time is up. If there are no further questions, I'll defer to my co-defense counsel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Settles, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Bill Settles. I represent Dr. Woods and Ms. Berlin. I want to start by correcting a couple of statements that Mr. Wrench made in his opening statement. And the first of those is the presumption that a diagnosis of a stage 4 cancer is a death sentence. Certainly, I wouldn't tell that to stage 4 cancer patients. There is no evidence in the record at all that stage 4 cancers cannot be successfully treated. There's no evidence one way or another. As we pointed out in our briefs, all of the evidence from Dr. Naughton was in terms of rate of recurrence. And it's important to understand where those statistics come from. They're based on population studies. What the physicians who conduct the studies do is they gather as much data as they can on a pool of patients that have the same tumor characteristics, the same lymph node involvement, and if they can say of these 100 patients, 70 will experience recurrence, 30 will not, that's how they arrive at a rate of recurrence. But what Dr. Naughton testified to and what we discussed in his cross-examination is that those population studies that talk about rate of recurrence can't be extrapolated to the individual. There isn't any way for a jury to determine, for example, whether a given patient is going to be one of the 70 who have a recurrence or one of the 30 who don't. That is another level of speculation that is present in this case, and it underscores the danger inherent in the loss of a chance doctrine, which is proven primarily through the use of statistics.
Counsel, when the judge granted directed verdict, did he rule solely on a theory of loss of chance, or did he rule on loss of chance and, for no better term, a traditional medical malpractice case?
Well, what he said was that the only evidence of damages with respect to Ms. Cohan was that her risk of recurrence had been increased. He then said, those are loss of a chance damages. Nebraska doesn't recognize loss of a chance, so I'm going to dismiss it. I think it's fair to conclude from that statement that he found both that they had not proven any other type of damage other than this change in prognosis. They had not presented sufficient evidence to establish any type of damage.
What about the growth of the cancer in the year delay? Is it your position that that's not damages?
Yes. And Judge, I looked long and hard for a case somewhere that tried to determine whether or not tumor growth in and of itself is damage. The only case I found said that the tumor growth itself is not damage. It's a condition that can lead to damage. It can, for example, it can cause pain. There's no evidence in this case.
Was that an ultimate verdict by a finder of fact, or was that a directed verdict case you're talking about?
I think it was a directed verdict case. It was a lower court case in Florida, is all I recall.
Wasn't there a case from New Jersey in which they found that a directed verdict should not be granted solely based upon when there has been evidence of growth and spreading of cancer?
I'm not familiar with that case, Your Honor. There may well be. It's a difficult question, I concede, that whether or not the tumor growth in and of itself could be considered damage. But our position would be that it's not a damage that can be measured or compensated. There has to be some evidence that the growth either caused pain, caused the need for additional treatment that wouldn't otherwise been necessary. Again, no evidence in this case that that was the case. Dr. Appleton did not, in fact, testify that there was any possibility of lumpectomy in 2008.
Was there any testimony about the condition during that year's time?
In terms of symptoms?
Increased inversion or stuff like that?
Well, the only evidence, that there was no evidence of pain. Ms. Cohan testified that the appearance of her nipple may have changed at some point. But other than that, there wasn't ever any evidence that this interval growth in the tumor caused actual damage to Ms. Cohan. We'd ask you to affirm the ruling of the district court.
But I may be right in the result in the case, I'm not sure, but certainly you cannot say that growth of cancer is not damage. Spreading and metastasis of a cancer is not, it certainly is some kind of damage, isn't it?
I don't think that necessarily follows, Your Honor.
You mean I start with a localized cancer and then it ends up metastasizing to my brain, I haven't been damaged?
Well, you've got to, in that situation...
If I had prostate surgery and that was localized, but they didn't get it all, and then it spread to my brain, that's not damage?
Well, in that situation, you're going to have additional treatment. Presumably, you're going to have radiation to your brain. You're going to have chemotherapy that you might not otherwise have.
I'm just taking issue with your statement that spread of cancer really isn't damage, but I don't think it makes any difference in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned, and you are excused.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.